Simtek CD Productions presents Mufti Ismail Menk.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد صدق الله رسوله الرؤيا بالحق لتدخلن المسجد الحرام إن شاء الله آمنين محلقين رؤوسكم ومقصرين لا تخافون فعلم ما لم تعلموا فجعل من دون ذلك فتحا قريبا هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما صدق الله العظيم.
Simtek CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon us all tonight and upon the Muslim Ummah at large. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all and may Allah ease the difficulties that the Muslim Ummah are going through. Innal hamdalillahi ahmaduhu wa asta'inuhu wa astahdih wa usalli wa usallim ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Indeed, all praises are due solely and only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For He has given us so much that if we were to try to count the gifts He has granted us, we will never succeed. And complete blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every time anyone mentions dhikr, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless and salute Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every time anyone reads salah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to salute him. And every time anyone does any good, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless and salute Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on our behalf. No matter what we do and what we say and what words of praise we use, we will never ever be able to thank Allah for the gift He has bestowed upon us. And we will never ever be able to praise Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the manner that we are meant to be praising Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us truly from amongst His followers. My dearest ulama, most honored ulama, brothers and sisters in Islam, I am very happy to be here. And I feel honored for having been granted the opportunity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to address myself firstly and then everyone who is here and everyone who shall listen later on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from myself, and may He accept the listening and hearing from one and all. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was known as As-Sadiqul Amin, the truthful, the trustworthy. He did not lie in his youth. He never broke a promise prior to Nubuwwah, which means obviously after Nubuwwah, he was even better. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the best. He used to smile. He used to try and be very helpful to everyone. They loved him. They adored him without exception. So what went wrong according to the kuffar of Quraysh? According to the disbelievers of the time, what went wrong? He came with a message to remind people what they were engaged in rather than, or what they were engaged in and what was expected from them, and the difference between the two and what was required in order to become better people. And they did not like it. Do we have a similar sickness? That when people tell us where we are going wrong, we dislike them and we dislike the message. Do we feel that way? If we do, it is time we changed it. For if we don't, we will be joining the lines of the kuffar of Quraysh. May Allah not do that to us. We should be very happy when we are told, brother, sister, this is wrong. It is totally incorrect. This is not the method taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah may be displeased with you. At least we should thank Allah that He has sent a messenger to guide us. So when Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came down and told the people, Ayyuhan nas, قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ تُفْلِحُوا. O people, say that there is no deity worthy of worship besides the one who is Allah, and you shall succeed. Not only did they refuse, to refuse is understandable at that moment in time, because it was something new, a new concept that came to them. So, as time would pass, they would understand and accept and agree. But not only did they refuse, they went out and fought him. They caused harm to him, physical, bodily harm, which is far worse than the cartoons that we have heard about in recent history. Because a cartoon is affecting the image of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it is not insulting him on his body, Mubarak, on his blessed body, the best of creatures, the best drops of blood ever to be created were spilled. Drops of this blood touched the ground. Even the ground was shaking because it had received drops of something much more blessed than any other creature in existence. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's reaction, Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, guide my people, they don't know. Had they known the message, the level of the message, the fact that I was a Nabi, they would never have done this. The angels were so upset. We all know that upon the occasion of the incident of Ta'if, the angels had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did they tell him? You command, we shall destroy. For the first time, they heard words of complaint come out of his mouth. For the first time, they heard words, Allahumma, O Allah, inni ashku ilayka, I am complaining to you. Oh, the angels were listening. What does this blessed, most blessed creature of Allah have to say today? If he says, crush them, we are there, we will destroy them. Who is he complaining about? We are ready to retaliate now. They were listening. But when the complaint came, he says, Allahumma inni ashku ilayka dha'fa quwwati. Oh Allah, I am complaining to you regarding my own weakness. I am weak, Ya Allah. Allahu Akbar. He didn't complain about this person or that person. He complained about his own weakness. Was he weak? I know and you know. he was the strongest. One narration says he was given the strength of 30 men, physical strength. And one narration takes it beyond that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all strength. They began to attack him. Overnight, he was now known as a liar. Astaghfirullah. They began to accuse him. Why? Because he was on the right path. He only sought justice. How many of us suffer similar problems? When we are honest and straightforward, people do not like us. That is a sign of acceptance. Remain honest and straightforward, even if you happen to lose some business. Some people invite us to engage in shady deals that Islam prohibits. Deals that will result in the bad image of Islam, because we would be going against the law of the land. And when we refuse, they begin to hate us. They begin to pass comments. They go around uttering words of defamation against us. Learn from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyone who sticks to justice must be tested. If they fall, they were never meant to be standing up for justice. And if they continue standing up, they were never meant to fall. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a lesson. So these words are words which are bad words, but in the eyes of Allah, they are a sign of acceptance. Why would Allah want His most beloved creature to taste these words? Because the lesson was meant to come all the way to us and get to us, that if you stick to justice, don't think standing up for justice is going to be easy. It's going to require lots of courage. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us straightforward in our homes, in our businesses, in our day-to-day affairs. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use us to serve this deen of His. Ameen. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we all know he used to sit, he used to meditate, he used to give people the message. Did he give the message in a positive manner or in a negative manner? It was only positive. No matter how negative people were, it never made him negative in the least. Never. We need to continue remaining positive. Have hope in life. No matter what people say, no matter what people do, when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should understand people may pass comments trying to distract us from the right path. People may pass comments, people might make life difficult for us. But it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will grant us that comfort. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do to His messenger? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began to comfort him by mentioning stories of the other Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. To say, there were people before you whom we had sent. These are their names. This is the message they came with.
وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ هَدَى اللَّهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الضَّلَالَةِ.
Allah says, to every nation we have sent prophets. The message was one. Worship your creator, nourisher, cherisher and sustainer, the one and only Allah. And stay away from anything evil. Stay away from shaitan. Stay away from the wrong paths. So Allah says, from amongst them were those whom Allah had guided. And from amongst them, guidance was never written for some. And for this reason, you should understand, guidance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to make an effort to get to it. Allah says,
مَن يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ.
Whomsoever Allah has written misguidance for, the whole world can tell them whatever the world wants to tell them. They will never even come an inch closer to guidance than they were. And Allah says in the Quran,
وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ.
Even if we were to bring down to them the angels, and the angels came to talk to them, to tell them, hey, we are angels, listen, this is the message. And even if the dead came up and said, listen, we have died, this is where we are gone, please remember and understand, you are also going to die, and that is where you are going. We've made mistakes, you don't make the mistakes. And even if we were to resurrect and bring forth everything that ever passed in the past in front of them, to explain to them not to transgress, they would never believe unless and until Allah willed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those whom a simple reminder can bear positive effect. Ameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of one incident of one of the prophets. And that is what I'd like to speak on today. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam is the messenger whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the greatest detail in the Quran. Typical scenario of today, where you have the oppressor and people who are trying to survive under the oppression. Fir'aun on one side and Musa alayhi salatu wa salam on the other. And Banu Israel sandwiched in between. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us lessons. Remember, the Quran was revealed 1400 and something years ago. But we need to currentize every verse, bring it to today's times and apply it. If we do not do that, then definitely we have not understood this Quran. Yes, there are certain verses which are just history. We need to learn from history. Why do we learn history in the schools? Because we need to learn the history so that we can benefit from it today and we can learn not to repeat the same mistakes of the past. That is why Allah makes mention of all the previous nations. The transgression they were drowning in, and how Allah destroyed them, so that those who are true historians would understand we should not repeat the same mistakes. Because, and I want to inform you, if fuel and fire created a huge explosion 100 years ago, do you think the same fuel and fire will not create an explosion today? That is being foolish. So if people had the message of Allah and they still transgressed and that resulted in punishment, do you think the message of Allah and transgression would not result in punishment today? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us not only sound intellect to comprehend what is being said, but more importantly, the acceptance to put into practice. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, statements were being made against him. Accusations, false accusations. He's a liar. He's a magician. He's a poet. He's possessed. He's cheating. He is getting the message from others and just delivering it to us. And so on. وَقَالُوا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ اكْتَتَبَهَا فَهِيَ تُمْلَى عَلَيْهِ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these kuffar had accused Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying that he is coming with stories that have been dictated to him from those who have revelation in the past. And he is just giving the same stories to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the acceptance to respect Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should not blaspheme him in any way. At times our lives, we lead them in such a way that on a daily basis, we are insulting Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a huge way, and yet we don't see it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to mention the stories of the Anbiya to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah says,
لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبَرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ.
Indeed, in the stories of the messengers of Allah are lessons for those who have sound intellect. That means not only is it meant to be a point of comfort for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but for everyone to come thereafter, there are lessons. And every time the stories of any prophet are repeated in the Quran, they are repeated for a different reason, to highlight a different point. Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam's story is repeated many times in the Quran. Every single time it is repeated in order to highlight a different point. Sometimes it is there in order to highlight the length of the period of him having called out. And sometimes it is there to highlight the suffering. And sometimes it is there to highlight the reaction of the people. And sometimes it is there to highlight his own family members' reaction, and so on. The same applies to every single Nabi. Any story in the Quran, when repeated, is never repeated for the same reason. So in Surah Taha, the same surah that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu had read few verses of, and immediately he recognized his creator and he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Take me to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," and he accepted Islam by reading a few verses. We read khatams of the Quran on a daily basis, or regularly we are reading chapters and quarter para a day, and one a day and two a day and five a day, and 30 days we complete one Quran. It hasn't tickled us yet. When the kuffar looked at the Quran with the right eyes, one verse was enough to shake them forever. One verse was enough to make them from amongst the best of creation after the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. And with us, we read on a daily basis, but we couldn't even be bothered what the Quran says. Our lives are on one highway and the Quran is on another. And yet we claim to be champions of the Quran. But in the same surah, Surah Taha, may Allah grant us acceptance so that we can comprehend the status of even a single word of the Quran. Allah says,
وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَىٰ.
Look at the words of the Quran. And did the story come to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Did the story reach to you of whom? Of Musa alayhi salam, Moses may peace be upon him. Why does the Quran say the name right at the end? In order to create an interest. It's a method of teaching people to create an interest. Allah did not say, and did Musa alayhi salam's story come to you? Because the minute Allah would say, did Musa's story come to you, alayhi salam, we would know that that was Musa that is going to be discussed. But Allah says, and did the story come to you of? Now there is an interest created in the heart. Of who? What is it? Let me know. Let me find out. He could be saying, and even the kuffar would have to listen, because the kuffar would be thinking that now they might be talking about us. Did Abu Jahl's story come? Did Abu Sufyan's story come? So they're all worried and listening. Then they say, Musa, Allahu Akbar. Allah then answers. And Allah says, the story of Moses, may peace be upon him, Musa alayhi salam. From this we learn that whenever we are teaching our children anything, use a method that will be effective. The Quran uses methods that are effective. And the Quran uses hundreds and thousands of different methods of teaching and of drawing the attention of the masses. And remember, today in this masjid we are sitting, different people have different qualifications. People are seated here for different reasons. I was speaking on a radio station once in Malawi, and I mentioned, I said, the most difficult thing is to speak on the radio. Why? You are speaking to people who are listening for different reasons. Some will be listening just to find error in what you are saying, so that they can pick on you and they can go behind your back and defame you. May Allah save us. But that is the intention of some. And some have a clear intention. Let's go to benefit. Let's go to learn. Or let's listen to learn. Those will be rightly guided. The kuffar looked at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for years. They did not get guidance because they looked at him with the wrong eyes. They looked at him with eyes of hatred, eyes of jealousy, eyes of envy. They never benefited anything. The minute they looked at him with eyes of love, it turned them to being from the best of creation after the Anbiya. We were forced to say, radiyallahu anhu, after we said anyone's name who was a Muslim at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and saw him and did not lose that iman until the point of death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us iman. So that is the first point we learn from the story. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being trained at the same time. He was being granted revelation. Remember, everything he did was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala trained all the anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. مَا مِن نَبِيٍ إِلَّا وَرَعَ الْغَنَمِ. There has not been a prophet except that the prophet has always been a shepherd at one point or another. Why a shepherd? Why looking after sheep? Because looking after sheep is the most difficult task you could have. You cannot communicate with a sheep. Allah is getting them prepared for nubuwa, to go out to teach the masses who will be worse.
أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ.
They are like animals and cattle, and even worse than cattle, because cattle can comprehend. They can understand certain things. If you take food at a certain time to cattle every morning, whenever you get out at that time, they'll rush towards you. They know goodness is coming. And if every time you come as a butcher and you slaughter one cattle at a time, when you come, they know one goes missing every time, they'll run away from you. Without the brains we have. But when we see and we've heard of previous nations and we see in our midst people who are being punished, it doesn't tickle us. That's why Allah says at times man can become even worse than cattle. Yet we can speak and be spoken to. So the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, literally, if we can use the word, were trained and were prepared. Imagine a shepherd. When one sheep goes astray, what happens? They cannot sleep until it comes back. They will make sure that they go out and bring it back with all love and care. And even when it comes back, a shepherd will be so caring that he will look and try to see, is anything gone wrong with this sheep? Let me try and see. Is it a healthy sheep still? And that is why the word shepherd is used a lot. كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ Every single one of you is a shepherd. And every single one of you is responsible for his or her flock. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues.
إِذْ رَأَى نَارًا فَقَالَ لِأَهْلِهِمْ كُثُوا إِنِّي آنَسْتُ نَارًا
Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was walking back from Madian, back home. And it was dark. Nightfall had set in. And he felt he had lost the way. So he was looking for any guidance. I want to currentize that. Today, each one of us, maybe not physical nightfall, but spiritual nightfall, we are in the darkness. Are we looking for guidance somewhere? Are we looking for it? If we are not, it's time we started looking, because our highway might be getting us somewhere else. Musa alayhi salam looked for guidance. It was a different type of guidance, but he wanted anything beneficial. And when he saw the guidance, he saw the light, he saw something that he perceived to be fire. He told his family, he told his wife immediately, listen, you wait here. I have seen a fire. I have seen light. He was so happy. How many of us get happy when ulama come to us and give us words of guidance? How many of us have developed a link with ulama in our midst, and Cape Town is full of them? How many of us have even recognized that there is a fire? Many people say light at the end of the tunnel. I say sometimes people don't even know that a tunnel exists. Forget about the light at the end. It's a fact. How many of us really and truly have recognized those who are of spiritual benefit to us within our own communities? When it comes to a physical malady and sickness, we are quick to rush to the doctor. Very fast. Because then we understand, if I don't, I might drop dead anytime. We create a link and we have a hotline to the doctor's home. We make friends with him. We know this man is going to be of benefit to me one day. When we suffer spiritual sickness, we don't even realize we are coughing, spiritual bronchitis, spiritual malaria and spiritual TB and spiritual heart attack and at times spiritual death. And then when someone says, who are you linked up with? Oh, I'm linked up with someone in Makkah. Allahu Akbar, your GP needs to be right in your vicinity. He can refer you to someone in Makkah, yes. But you need to have someone right nearby whom you are in constant contact with, so that you can see that flame of Iman all the time. And he can help you. And he will not be from amongst those who will only tell you what you like to hear. At times, he will tell you things that might seem bitter. Just like the doctor might give you medication for malaria, everyone will tell you it is very bitter. If you don't take it, you may die. That we are very fast, because we know we will have it because we don't want to die. And when it comes to spiritual death, we are prepared to die, but we won't take a bitter pill. Look at the double standards of man. Yet, that spiritual cure for that spiritual malaria is far more important, because it gives you life after what we know as death. Whereas the medication of this dunya may never cure you if Allah has not written the cure for you. So we need to go out and hunt for this light in the same way that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went out and he looked, he found the light, he saw it, and he did not waste time. Sometimes we are driving, we are lost, but we are too shy to ask for directions. Today they have a GPRS. What is it called? GPS. Sat-nav, that is what they call it. To make it easy for us to get physical direction. Why don't we have a sat-nav to make it easy for us to get spiritual direction? Why don't we have that link? I am now on the right path, I've made a wrong turn. That sat-nav will speak to you saying you have made a wrong turn. Wallahi, I'm informing you, those who have those vehicles, alhamdulillah, what technology. It tells you, you have turned, and then it gives you an alternate direction. That is what the ulama will do to you. But we don't have that sat-nav, then we are not interested. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. He told his family, hang on. And what did he tell his family? Many of us go to the masjid, we listen to a beautiful talk, we come back home, we go to sleep. Wife and children, we're not bothered. We couldn't be bothered. We couldn't even communicate with them. Musa alayhi salam says,
لَعَلِّي آتِيكُم مِّنْهَا بِقَبَسْ أَوْ أَجِدُ عَلَى النَّارِ هُدَى.
Wait here, I'm coming back with a piece of that flame for you also. Allahu Akbar. When we go to the masjid, take a piece of that iman, take a piece of that nur back, spend 30 minutes with your wife, your children, your parents, your family members, and also give them a little bit of that piece of nur that you attained. May Allah grant us nur. We learn this from Musa alayhi salatu wasalam so simply. How many of us are guilty of not even recognizing our points of benefit within our communities and in our midst, the ulama? And if we have, how many of us are selfish with the ulama? I must have him for myself. And another thing, even if I do not have him for myself, but we are lazy, sheer laziness to go home and to tell them what happened. This is where we are suffering. Musa alayhi salam told his family members immediately, no, I'm not going there all on my own for nothing. I'm going to come back with a piece of that flame for you so you can also be warm. It was a cold night. They needed it. So when we are physically suffering, we are very fast to think of solutions. But when we are spiritually suffering, we plunge deeper into it happily. May Allah save us. And if Musa alayhi salam says, if I cannot bring a peace, the minimum is at least I'll get guidance and I'll come. You'll also benefit because we are going together. We are trying to get to a certain point together. So inshallah, we will move together. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously, he had a different plan. Musa alayhi salam went to get guidance of a certain type and he got guidance of a different type. He went to get a flame for warmth. He got spiritual warmth. Which means if you walk towards that which is beneficial spiritually, you will always get everything else together with it. Because he did not know that I'm walking towards spiritual benefit. I'm walking towards revelation of the Almighty. How many of us are ready to walk towards revelation of the Almighty? And what that means is not that Jibreel is going to come to us. No. It means the Quran is already revealed to us. The Sunnah is already in our midst. How many of us can make it alive in our own lives? Bring it into our lives. Walk towards it. So as he walked, he realized this is a different fire. Firstly, the color is different. Secondly, there are no people sitting around this fire. It's cold and you see a fire in Cape Town. What do you expect? It's probably a braai, isn't it? It's probably a braai. People are sitting there enjoying their meat. So he expected to see something. Whatever he thought is not related to us. But the bare minimum is we know he was not expecting what he got. And he went forward and he noticed this. And before anything else could happen, he heard a voice. What was the voice?
فَلَمَّا أَتَاهَا نُودِيَ يَا مُوسَى.
Subhanallah. When he got to it, or when he went to it, then he heard the voice. What is the significance of that word, when he went to it? Did Allah say when it came to him? No. That means for spiritual benefit, you need to make the effort. Don't think I'm just going to sit back, relax at home, and if people want to benefit me spiritually, they're going to come. No. An effort is required. You need to stand up, attend this program, attend that program, be interested in this person, travel to that area, go back to that area. Make an effort for deen, and you'll find it will then come. It cannot just come like that. Did Musa alayhi salam see it and sit back and relax? No. He walked, falamma ataha. Allah says, when he got to it, you need to visit the ulama. Yes, Allah does us so many favors where ulama visit us. But we need to make an effort to come to the masjid. We need to make an effort. At times you've got a radio program. If you are not going to turn on that radio, forget about the benefit. So Allah says, then when he got there, Allah called him. The Quran says, he heard a voice. But who was calling him? It was Allah. Which means, when you make an effort, remember, Allah will come closer to you than you have tried. مَنْ أَتَانِي يَمْشِي أَتَيْتُهُ أُهَرْوِلُ إِلَيْهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. Whoever comes to me walking, Allah says, I come to him faster than that. You come to me a handspan, I come to you even more than that. Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you need to make an effort. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who can be walking towards him throughout our lives. And may he come to us even faster, because we need his help for everything and anything. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nudiya ya Musa, inni ana rabbuk. Imagine how he must have felt. He heard a voice, O Musa, O Moses, may peace be upon him. I am your Rabb. Imagine what he must have felt. He was not expecting that. He must have felt a feeling which cannot be described today. We would have probably shivered and fainted. And that should depict the happiness that a person feels when he discovers his creator. We are alive, we are Muslimin. Some of us have not discovered who is Allah. When we discover our creator, the feeling that we will feel, we will not be able to describe it. إِنَّ لِلْإِيمَانِ halawa. Definitely iman has a sweetness. The one who has tasted it has really and truly tasted something that he cannot describe to someone else. May Allah grant us the sweetness of iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and he says, O Musa, Allah is addressing him direct. What was the first command? Ya Musa, inni ana rabbuk, fakhla'na'alayk. Allahu Akbar, remove your shoes. What is the significance of the removal of shoes? How come the first thing he was told was, Ya Musa, I am your Rabb, so take off your shoes. Take off your shoes to achieve what? I'm going to get to that. But before I get to that, what is the significance of removal of shoes? Let me inform you, today we are in this masjid. How many of us are wearing shoes? None. We have left them outside the door. Why? Many reasons. This masjid is so pure, we cannot bring in what is very doubtful and very impure. We've walked into the loo with those shoes. Our day-to-day life, the dunya that we walk on, the earth that we walk on for dunya purposes, what is the point of connection between us and the ground? What is the point of connection? Is it not the feet? What is on the feet? The shoes. So the dirt under those shoes, what is it? It is dunya, and solely dunya. You will never achieve closeness to your creator until you understand, leave it outside, then come into the masjid. Your dunya you removed. You took it out, now you can come to your creator. Allahu Akbar, now we are speaking. But if your love of the dunya is so much, it may just become a barrier between you and your creator. Allah says, Ya Musa, inni ana rabbuk, fakhla'na'alayk. First thing you do, take out your shoes. The connection between you and the dunya, why? What, did he not just work for so many years? Did he not just get his reward? And was he not just paid his salary for having worked so many years for Shu'aib alayhi salam, according to the narrations in Madian? Now, how many of us, when we earn, we've got a salary, suddenly our heads begin to inflate a few centimeters. Inflate. It inflates. Because we feel I've been paid. When you come into the masjid, if you've got that inflation with you, remember, you will not gain closeness to Allah. Deflate your brain and your mind and your head. Before you walk in, take off those shoes. How much you are worth, you leave it outside in those racks. And those shoes might even be stolen. It's a sign of mercy. To remind you that let that dunya go. Did you wake up? Why is it gone? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our shoes. So no matter what we are worth in terms of dunya, when it comes to deen, we will not achieve closeness until we forget about the dunya. Why do we have to stand in one line in salah? So there is no difference between anyone. An-nasu sawasiya ka asnanil misht. People are equal like the teeth of a comb. May Allah make us all feel that way. In fact, the ulama have gone to say, those who know Allah and have recognized Him will always feel that they are worse than the others. Because not only have they removed their shoes, but even from the heart, they've removed the dunya. They realize their need for Allah. And they realize that if Allah has mercy on a person whom others might perceive as worse, then that person is far better than them. So here Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was told to remove his shoes. Why? Because it was the point of connection between himself and the ground. Remember, take it out, put it on the side. His shoes were not najis, they were not impure. He was about to be granted prophethood. But Allah said, the soil you are on here is more pure. إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. You are in the valley, a very, very sacred valley of Tuwa. One question that springs to my mind. Why did Allah meet Musa alayhi salam in a valley? That is Allah. He could have met Musa alayhi salam on the top of the mountain, a higher place, a more sacred place. But nay, the more sacred place was the valley. He's about to be given nubuwa with all humbleness. Remember, when you turn to Allah, you start at the bottom, then you work your way up to the mountain. You start at the bottom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him nubuwa in a valley, not at the top of the mountain. Anyone who turns to religion, religion is a walk uphill until you get to the top. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us death after we've got there. And may Allah grant us death whilst we are walking up, not whilst we are sliding down. So a person who has true spirituality in him or her will be a person who has an uphill task to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And is happy about it. Deen will not come into you overnight. You don't just become a wali min awliya illahi tabaraka wa ta'ala without making an effort. An effort is required. Fajr is not so easy. Dhuhr, asr, maghrib. Oh, it's quite a difficult salah, especially when you go to work and the sun sets quite early. You need to hatch a plan in the same way that you would had there been something else. And that plan is the uphill walk that we are speaking about. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala met Musa alayhi salam in the valley. And Allah told him to remove his shoes. And I'd like to just cap that to say, we will gain closeness to Allah if we understand the limits of the dunya. In no way am I saying that we should divorce ourselves from the dunya because that is not Islamic. No. But we must understand the limits. I give you an example. What are the shoes we wear today? An illicit affair with a person of the opposite sex. Those are shoes. Those are gumboots, believe me. Difficult to remove. They're zipped up and locked and tied. You need to take them out, put them aside and come to Allah. Allahu Akbar. People who eat interest on a daily basis. Those are also shoes. Those are shoes that come all the way like an overalls, which actually eat up your whole body. Very difficult to take out. You've got to sit down and start removing button by button because you've tasted something haram. Shaitan keeps on beautifying it. Those who are drinking or on drugs. We need you. Turn to deen. We need you to serve this ummah and your offspring, your children that you will have. We need them after we are all gone to become the champions and the flag bearers of this deen. If you are not going to make an effort to quit the drugs you are on, when are you going to be able to benefit this ummah? Make a dua. Ya Allah, use us and use our offspring to serve this deen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, keep us away from sin, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those on drugs, Ya Allah, help them to come out of the problem and use them to serve this deen and their offspring, Ya Allah. Make them an asset in their families after they were a burden. Ameen. Alcoholics, and the list is endless. We know the list. Those who go to the casinos and they really feel that they need to blow their money in that direction. A person who goes to the casinos has neither spent his wealth in dunya nor in deen. He has just flushed it down the loo. That's all. If he spent it in dunya, he would have bought his wife something. He would have bought his children something. He would have did something with it for the benefit of someone somewhere. And if he spent it in deen, he would have built a madrasa with it. He would have sponsored orphans with it. He would have possibly assisted in the renovation of a masjid or the building of a masjid if it is necessary, and so on. But here, neither this nor that. Just flush it down the loo. And most probably, they will take the title deeds of your own house at one point, and your whole family will suffer. How many billionaires have become paupers overnight because of one roulette? That is the dunya. Those are the shoes we are wearing today. What other shoes do we wear that create a barrier between us and Allah? Musa alayhi salam was ordered to remove them. He had simple shoes. With us, we've got complex, complicated shoes. Nike and Adidas and all these names. Yes, even in the heart we have Nike and Adidas and all these names. I'm not saying it's prohibited. But I'm saying in the same way we have the love for these brand names, let's have the love of Allah even in a higher way, in a bigger way. We should understand that is more beneficial. Jealousy. Oh, those are shoes which really, they have chewing gum underneath. Chewing gum. Hatred, enmity, deception, cheating, stealing, and so on. Causing problems, backbiting, slandering, gossiping, spreading rumor. These are shoes. If you have them, you will not be able to achieve closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, remove your shoes. Remove that which is creating a barrier between you and me. Then you will be able to walk towards me. And I will call out to you. And I will have mercy on you. Let me continue with the verses. Allah says, وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ. And I have chosen you, O Musa alayhi salam. May Allah choose us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose us all. When a woman is pregnant, they would tell her that if you are to smoke, it will affect the unborn child. Physically, it affects the child. If you are depressed, it may mentally affect the child. So try and be happy at all times so that it can benefit the child. So what do? We turn on the music full blast and we listen to it. I'm happy. Astaghfirullah. Do you think if physical and mental and emotional issues have a direct impact on the child, do you now think that spiritual issues will not have a direct impact on the child? And which is more important? So rather than music, let's listen to the Quran. The Quran has all different methods of recitation with different types of reciters. That is a gift from Allah. You have a heavy recitation, you have a light soothing recitation, you have a medium recitation, you have a slow recitation, you have a medium pace recitation, you have a very fast recitation, and so on. The words are soothing. You've got surahs with short verses, and you've got other surahs with long verses. All this should soothe you. You will definitely pick up that which you love from the recitation of the Quran. The type of recitation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala soothe us with the Quran rather than with music. And Allah says, I have chosen you, O Musa. So is it enough to say, oh Allah chose me, now I'm in the masjid. I'm chosen to be here. We are all chosen to be here tonight and every night. We are chosen. We make an effort, but we are chosen. But Allah says, I have chosen you, O Musa. And it doesn't stop there. فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. So listen to what is to be revealed. Which means you are chosen and you need to follow it up by obeying revelation. That's what is meant. If I come to the masjid and I just come and I go, and when I'm out, I'm not bothered. Now I'm jealous and I hate people and I spread rumor and I make life difficult, and especially in business, I cheat people. Anyone who's straightforward, I make sure that I spoil their name and so on. What happens? We have not followed it up. We will never achieve upliftment. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Man jaa bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha." The one who comes with a good deed on the day of Qiyamah, that good deed will be multiplied by 10. Allah didn't say man amila hasanatan, or Allah did not say man fa'ala hasanatan. Allah says man jaa bil hasana. Whoever comes with a good deed, we will multiply it by 10. Why? Because it is 10 times more difficult to protect a deed than to do it. We've all read our salah, but who knows, by the end of the day, that salah might be given as a gift to someone whom we've cheated, someone whom we've backbitten about, someone whom we've deceived, someone whom we are jealous about. Have we protected the salah? To read the salah was simple, but we dished it out. To look after it is 10 times more difficult. For that reason, Allah says, فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. He has done the deed. Now he brought it on the day of Qiyamah. It's intact. It was not given to anyone. Now we'll multiply it by 10. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiply our deeds. And may Allah not make us from amongst those who do deeds and suddenly we give them out everywhere. This is why Allah says, وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. I have chosen you, O Musa alayhi salam. Listen very carefully to that which is about to be revealed. We need to listen. Once we are chosen, once we come to the masjid, let's listen and benefit, inshallah.
إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي.
Allah describes himself firstly. Why? Because if you do not recognize Allah, you will get nowhere. The first thing you need to do is to recognize your creator. Recognition of Allah. Allah is describing himself. Innani anallah. I am Allah who is, I am the worshipped one. La ilaha illa ana. There is none worthy of worship besides me, O Musa alayhi salam. Fa'budni. So worship me alone. Do not render any act of worship for anyone besides myself, Allah is saying. Wa aqimis salata li dhikri. And then what should you do? You've recognized Allah. Establish your prayer in order to remind you and to increase the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must establish prayer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us steadfastness on prayer. Prayer is the connection between a worshipper and Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. If you don't have that contact, that link, what will happen? It reminds me of these walkie-talkies we have. You press a button and suddenly the entire police force is linked. If that link is broken, you can call out a million times a day, you won't get the response. You've broken the link. You have internet connection at so many kilobytes per hour, megabytes per hour. Nowadays we have Wi-Fi and LAN and everything else. MashaAllah, the connection is at a very high speed. But when it disconnected for a split minute, how do you feel? Hey, I've lost information, man. I've lost this, I've lost that. I've lost everything. Oh, this thing is disconnected. Reconnect again. But anyway, I'll have to reload the whole page. And I typed my mail. I pressed send. Then it says expired. Allahu Akbar. How do you feel? Very bad. Why don't we feel as bad when our connection with Allah has also disconnected? We know how we feel for dunya. I am trying to relate it to you. To say, listen, we feel it on a daily basis, but for the wrong things. And I'm not saying don't feel it for the internet. Because if you hadn't felt it, I would not have been able to give you that example tonight. So Allah says, fulfill salah. Remember me. And it will remind you of me. And it will keep you conscious of me. Then Allah speaks of one last point.
إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا لِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسْعَى فَلَا يَصُدَّنَّكَ عَنْهَا مَنْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِهَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ فَتَرْدَى.
صدق الله العظيم. Allah speaks of the hour, the day of Qiyamah. There are two Qiyamahs. Al-Qiyamatu al-Sughra, man mata qamat qiyamatuh. The small qiyamah, when I die and you die, it's my qiyamah and yours. That's known as the small qiyamah. And the major qiyamah is that day of judgment that we've all heard about and we read about. So Allah says, definitely the hour is coming, both hours, the hour of my death and even the hour, the sign of the day of qiyamah. The hour is indeed definitely coming. Inna, indeed, definitely, verily, most definitely, the hour is coming. And we know it is hidden. Allah knows best why. If we knew our date of expiry, one day, 2 days before, we would stay in salah for 24 hours. But before that, we would be engaging in sin whole day, whole night. So it is part of the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hide it from us so that we can turn voluntarily. And Allah says, do not allow those who do not believe in this hour to distract you from it, to lead you astray, to make you oblivious of the hour. Who are those? Those who follow their desires, their whims and fancies. Those who follow their whims and fancies, they are the ones who do not believe in the hour. That is the verse of the Quran. Now let's ask ourselves, here Allah is telling us that there is an hour. We say we believe in it, but our deeds don't believe in it. The way we operate on a daily basis seems like we do not believe that there is an hour to come. How we cheat people in business. We owe them money, we duck and dive for years. In business, we've given the goods. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. In our families, we swear our wives and our husbands. We beat up our husbands in the case of women. I have to say that because it's a problem that has actually increased. I know everyone must be thinking, I wonder why he's saying that. But believe me, it's a problem and it's increasing. There are many women who go gymming these days, but for the wrong reasons. They want to be able to retaliate. May Allah save us. Retaliation is still okay, but to the offensive, the initial offensive, that is what is happening today. May Allah save us all. May Allah grant us happiness in our homes. So how we operate in our own homes and houses, it's as though we don't believe that there's an hour to come. But we say, Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulih wal yawmil akhiri wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allahi ta'ala wal ba'thi ba'da al maut. Our tongues know that very well. But do our hearts know it? A person who's dying, very high cholesterol, he knows exactly what to do. He tells everyone, hey, high cholesterol, and he dies of it. May Allah save us. That's how we operate. A man has a sugar problem. He knows everything, but he's not bothered. He just eats. One man, I told him, hey, control. He says, no, I've got to eat. He says, why? He says, kullu halal. Everything is halal. I told him, brother, remember one thing, it's all halal, but Allah has sent down your sustenance, possibly in your life. 1,000 kgs of red meat were written. You know, Allah has written the sustenance, how much red meat you are going to eat per gram and milligram and even a nanogram, if there's a word of that nature. It's written. So I told him, you probably ate all your quota up. So now it's finished. Now the doctor says you can't eat anymore. May Allah save us. So the red meat is not bad. The way we ate it was bad. We finished it all up. Now if he ate a few grams a day, up to now, age of 70, he'd still be eating. So here Allah is saying, you must remember, even your deeds should be such that they will constantly remind you that there is an hour to come. And in this way, we shall achieve benefit. Now, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? To show him that Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, right at the beginning, how he got revelation, what he told his family members, how he got closer to us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa alayhi salam. Kalimullah, the one whom Allah spoke to. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam was known as Khalilullah, the one whom Allah has befriended. Friendship of the highest level is known as Al-Khulla. Highest level of friendship. And Allah says, the highest level of friendship between me and Ibrahim alayhi salam. But the good news is, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa salam was known as both. Subhanallah. He was also Khalilullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all understanding. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uplift the Muslim Ummah and ourselves. And may Allah make us people who are conscious of the hour. May He make us from amongst those whom, when we see the light, we walk towards it. May He make us from amongst those who search for the light in the first place. And may He make us from amongst those who develop a contact and a link with the ulama who live in our midst. And may He make us from amongst those who can benefit from the ulama. Remember, the ulama are not anbiya. That is why there will be one or two errors that they may make, one or two sins that you might notice, or one or two minor issues that they may have engaged in. That is because they are not anbiya. Had they been perfect, they would have been anbiya. So shaitan likes to highlight to you those negative points so that you don't see the positive, and so that you don't benefit. Don't do that. That is shaitan. Everyone is imperfect here. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also make us from amongst those whom, when we go, we learn something, we share it with our family members, and we are concerned about the well-being of our family members. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the walk up the mountain easy for us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to remove our spiritual shoes whenever we come into the masjid. And not only whenever we come into the masjid, but may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to strike the right balance between deen and dunya. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those also who can establish salah, and who can recognize the Creator, and who can constantly bear in mind that the hour is coming. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Allahumma salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihimi. Allahumma salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihimi. Allahumma salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihimi. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-huda wat-tuqa wal-afaf wal-ghina. اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. يا الله forgive our sins. يا الله, on this night we are asking you to forgive our sins. We have committed so many sins that we've lost track of our sins. يا الله, يا الله forgive us. يا الله, يا الله, we have committed so many sins, we are begging you for your mercy. يا الله, يا الله have mercy on us. يا الله elevate us spiritually. يا الله grant us contentment. يا الله, يا الله help us through the dunya as well. يا الله, يا الله, the day you take us away whilst you are happy with us. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, take us away with shahada on our tongues. Ya Allah, those who are sick, Ya Allah, cure them. Those who are looking after those who are ill, Ya Allah, grant them a full reward. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, those who have passed away, grant them maghfirah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, those who have passed away from amongst the those who were followers of the previous prophets as well, Ya Allah, grant them jannah and maghfirah and have mercy on them. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, those to come from amongst those who will be the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from amongst those who will be members of this ummah, Ya Allah, make life easy for them. Ya Allah, let them all be flag bearers of this deen. Ya Allah, the day you take them away as well, Ya Allah, have mercy on them and take them away, Ya Allah, with the shahada on their tongues. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, those who are our enemies, Ya Allah, soften their enmity. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, grant them maghfirah and hidayah. Ya Allah, and grant us all hidayah and guidance. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, those who are our enemies, Ya Allah, grant them jannah as well. Ya Allah, because we know that if you grant them jannah through our dua, Ya Allah, we will be there before them. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, grant us jannah. Ya Allah, grant us the companionship of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, grant us the companionship of the sahaba. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, we ask you all the goodness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked. Ya Allah, and we seek protection from all the evil he has sought protection from. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, all those who are here, all those who are here have different difficulties, different sicknesses, different ailments, different problems, different pressures. Ya Allah, you ease for every single person whatever they are going through. Ya Allah, you cure them from their sicknesses, whether they are physical or spiritual or mental or emotional. Emotional, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever type of ailment anyone is going through here, Ya Allah, from all those who are listening, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, cure them. Ya Allah, ease their tensions. Ya Allah, all those who are not married, grant them spouses who will be the coolness of their eyes. Ya Allah, all those who are married, Ya Allah, grant them happiness and contentment in their homes. Grant them offspring who will be the coolness of their eyes. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, all those who do not have children, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, grant them offspring who will be the coolness of their eyes. Ya Allah, those who are suffering marital problems, Ya Allah, help them to solve those problems. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, you guide them. Ya Allah, guide them. Ya Allah, and help them to understand the element of sacrifice in marriage. Ya Allah, and Ya Allah, make them content. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, safeguard the girls of this ummah. Ya Allah, safeguard the boys of this ummah. Ya Allah, the old people of this ummah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, the youth. Ya Allah, of this ummah. Ya Allah, safeguard our children as well. Ya Allah, the ummah at large. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, safeguard all those who are struggling and striving, Ya Allah, to please you. Ya Allah, the Muslims who are suffering at this moment in time as we are seated here, Ya Allah, ease their suffering wherever they are on this globe, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, on this eve, Ya Allah, we ask you all the goodness, Ya Allah, and we seek protection from all the evil. Antal musta'an, alaykal balagh, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Get the latest 2006 lectures. Maulana Sulaiman Mulla speaks on avoiding bankruptcy, the wisdom of Allah, respect and mannerism, the obligation of Quran, guidelines for teachers and parents, five great women in Islam, and more than 100 lectures available on audio or MP3. Plus the all new titles by Maulana Sulaiman Mulla, Salah in the Life of a Believer, and A Role Model for Youth. Maulana Ahmad Sulaiman Katani speaks on the dignity of the Ummah, the appreciation of life and time, the rewards of Hajj, and the power of concentration in Salah, with more than 120 hours of lectures available on MP3. Mufti Ismail Meg 2006, The Role of Parents, Recognize Your Creator, and Abd al-Dunya, Slave of the World, an all-new Cape Town 2006 release. Also by Mufti Meg, Family Rights, It's Time for Change, Searching for the Light, Musa alayhi salam, two Jum'ah lectures, Increase Salam, Feed the Poor, Join Family Ties, and The Meaning of Dhikr. Get all Mufti Meg's Tarawih lectures from 2003 on MP3. Sheikh Anwar Awlaki from the USA with informative titles like Allah is Preparing Us for Victory, 25 Promises to the Believers, Quran, The Book of Tolerance, The Story of the Bull, Giving and Investing in the Hereafter, and many more outstanding titles available on MP3.
Simtek CD Production, bringing the sound of Islam to you.
Simtek Islamic CDs, South Africa's leading Islamic media and audio CD manufacturer.